And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
This week at Macy's, get an extra 20% off with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals, like 25 to 60% off cold weather gear for the whole family, 30 to 60% off select bedding and bath, plus 30% off select small appliances. And Star Rewards members earn on every purchase, except gift cards, services, and fees at Macy's, Macy's Backstage, and Market by Macy's. More at Macy's.com/Star Rewards. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Welcome to Dueling Review, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and we go into depth. We're into detail about that comic.
Depth.
This is an interesting week.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, still comics coming out, which means we're still reading comics, which means there's a reason to go out on Christmas Eve day to do shopping. Not because you forgot to buy a gift for your wife and she's been asking about a certain thing that you forgot to get her. But because of comics. And this week,
yes,
we are taking a look at Dynamite Entertainment, and we're looking at, this is kind of interesting, they've got a bunch of these coming out this week. It's their 2014 special issues, which I think are fascinating, and we're looking at the Doc Savage 2014 special number one. This is not a Doc Savage story, though.
Well, he's in it.
Yeah, he's in it. I'll give him that.
I like the fake thing on the cover that makes it look like,
yeah, like an old comic. Yeah, it was really nice. We are looking at a Pat Savage story, and I really like Pat Savage because one of the problems with Doc Savage as a book is it's all like Sausage Factory, right? It's just nothing but guy. Even if there is a female in the main stories, she's usually a damsel in distress, and she's usually brushed aside very early in the main story. And I'm not talking about the Doc Savage comic books. I'm talking about Doc Savage pulp stories from back in the day.
Right.
And it's just guy. Pat Savage, who is introduced in, I want to say Mark of the Werewolf, Brand of the Werewolf, one of those two, as Doc Savage's cousin, really brought some kind of new life. Now, unfortunately, she was always kind of considered the...
Cousin Oliver?
Yeah, the Cousin Oliver of the piece, even though she was introduced way early on in the stories.
Yeah.
She's not really considered part of the main team, and that's kind of what this story focuses on. She wants to be part of Doc's team. She doesn't want to be considered a second tier person.
Right.
And Doc has a very important mission for her.
Babysitting. And that was hurtful.
It kind of was.
We open with Pat in action. And by the way, kudos on the fact that Pat dresses exactly like Doc Savage.
Yes, and that was kind of the gimmick a lot for the years that anytime they featured her, you know, the Bama covers always have Doc Savage with his clothes, his shirt ripped off, right, and all these kind of things. So that
Jennifer
when they
pants and a ripped white shirt.
Yeah, so when they started doing that with Pat Savage, it was kind of funny because she also had ripped up clothing. And so this one, yeah, your opening shot is midway through the story, and then we jump to a flashback, but it's her with her shirt ripped and stuff, and it's funny.
And her buttons have popped entirely.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say this. They managed to make that not skeevy.
No, it wasn't, because it was in the middle of a fight scene.
Yeah. And she does fight really well. And, of course, when we find out what the babysitting turns out to be, it's not particularly, you know, what it seems. It's not actually babysitting. I do like the fact that we, you know, this is 1939 and we have Pat dealing with segregation.
Oh, racism and segregation, problems. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She runs a beauty salon, and one of the white patrons is upset that there's a black girl working on her, and Pat's like, look, if you don't like it, get the F out. She doesn't say F, but she does kind of insinuate
you
that.
You can leave my establishment.
And she's – and her driver, the taxi driver, is the cousin of the girl. And so, you know, it's nice to continue to have that throughout. And, you know, there's a lot of – races represented, because the main plot point is that Doc has to protect this
Chinese
scientist so he can go speak at this robotics convention, again, 1939. Right. And they're worried that someone's going to do something to the daughter. So they thought maybe Pat could take care of the daughter, and and Pat and the daughter kind of bond a little bit, in so much that the daughter doesn't talk very much, but seems to be very inquisitive. And then some ninjas come out and try to attack them.
Ninja attack. I do like the ninja attack. I also like the subtle foreshadowing, because there's moments where, you know, they're doing the thing, and about halfway through the book,
yeah,
Pat has to slide down.
Yeah, you're heavy.
You weigh more than you look like, little girl.
Yeah, and it's at that point I was like, ah, I get it. The girl is a robot.
Yep. And the ninjas attack.
Yeah, and they want it. They want the technology so that they can build their own army. And that's what both Doc and the dad were worried about, was that this technology was going to fall into the wrong hands. Now, we find out, sadly, that the scientist had lost both his wife and his daughter when the Japanese invaded China. And in his grief, he created this robot to replace his daughter. Yep. And by the time they get to this ship, the robot's been halfway dismantled and everything. And the scientist has been forced to do the stuff. Doc has been poisoned. Pat's there to save the day. Yep. And the scientist basically is like, look, even though my daughter is dead, if I continue to live, then people will still come after me, because it's my knowledge and my brain that they really, really want. And so his decision is to go ahead and stay on the ship as it blows up, as Pat has sabotaged the ship and it sinks to the bottom of the sea.
There is a 2-page spread in this book that is gorgeous.
Oh, man. If you like the opening sequence of Captain America, the Winter Soldier, where he and Black Widow go on the ship and Captain America is just taking out people one right after the other.
Yep.
There is a double page spread where Pat is doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. And it's really, really well done. She jumps off an auto gyro, lands on the ship, and then you move across the ship and then back to the left.
It feels very much like a side scroller that you're looking at, because where she ends up is, you know, right before you get into the big boss level.
Yep. And then she, you know, fights the ninja.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, the ninja is not particularly ninja-fied.
No, I don't
think
so
either. All of these ninjas get their butts kicked really well.
Yeah, right? Well, but part of it is that Pat has procured a pair of electro shock earrings that she can use on the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Doc obviously knows that, because he uses that to kind of coerce Pat into this task.
Yeah, yeah, you wouldn't know what happened to this device. Oh, here's, babysitting, you say?
Here's the thing. I think Doc knows. I mean, obviously, Doc knows that the girl is a robot.
Right.
And I think even though he kind of laughs off the whole babysitting thing to Pat, I think he's using this as a final test for her. Because at the end, where she's in the hospital, totally mad at him, he's like, look, you did a great job. I want to welcome you on board as a full member of my team.
You've earned your place.
Yeah.
And it's not
out of. Yeah. And I don't think that it's out of reaction to the events that have happened. I think he was planning this all along. I think that's what Doc would do.
Well, and you can read it either way. I kind of read it as he wasn't sure and this happened and he was poisoned and she handled herself well enough that he realized that, yes, she actually should be. You know, the girl of bronze.
Yeah,
a girl of bronze or a woman of bronze? It's the 30s.
Yeah. Woman of bronze.
And I really like this issue. I'm not like the giant Doc Savage guy necessarily.
Right.
I'm aware of them. I like them. They're fine. But you get to the point where, you know, Pat's having fun in the issue. And then, of course, something happens and she immediately goes on the offensive and does the whole superhero thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really kind of like the way this issue breaks down. It's kind of classic pulpy.
Yes.
And
it had all the pulp elements in it.
Yeah. But it's not necessarily something where you're like, my God, this is boring, endless stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes the pulps do get a little wrapped up in themselves.
They kind of do. And that's where this really separates itself from like Brand of the Werewolf or any of those kinds of things.
Right.
This also has some stuff that I don't think you would have found in the 1930s pulp. You definitely would not have found a robot in 1939, I don't think.
And I don't think you would have found some of the social elements and aspects of the story either.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I really like about this story, is that even though it's set in that time period, it still has a very modern feel to it, mm-hmm. which makes it fun.
Yeah. And, you know, my only real interactions with Pat Savage are the Dr. Dare strips in Penthouse Comics.
Oh, yeah.
Where her shirt ripped far, far deeper. So,
yeah,
I was really kind of expecting this to be very retro and very kind of familiar. But it was really a neat little story.
So here's the problem. For some reason, I feel like I've read this story before.
You may have.
I feel like I have read a story where there is a little robot girl that Pat has to protect, and the dad blowing up the ship at the end. I don't know. I feel like it's almost from another comic book. I don't know. So that is the one thing that it just felt very familiar to me, and I don't know why.
It may be from Robot Carnival. Dun 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 dun.
Maybe dun, I doubt it. Dun. I'm also weirded out that in the final panels, now again, we're looking at a review copy from Dynamite Entertainment. In the final three panels of the page, Doc Savage's hair is black, which isn't correct.
Oh, I think that's just the shadows.
Maybe. Except that in the top panel, he's in full daylight and his hair is still black.
Why you gotta?
Come on now.
Why you gotta?
So I'm thinking, hopefully that's only in the review copy and not the one that that made it to print. Art is fine in this book. I didn't have a major problem with it. Like I said, story was fun. I'm saying go pick it up. It is a $7.99 book, so be prepared for that. But it's also 48 pages of story.
So that's the thing.
Yeah.
48 pages of story is nearly three times your average $3 20-page book. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We are at a point where $7.99 comics are an ongoing concern. They are a reality of the business.
Oh, my God, they better be an ongoing concern for people.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, I don't like the idea of paying $8 for a comic, but this is a good enough story that I don't feel cheated by having this be an $8 book necessarily.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I think you need to be a big Doc Savage fan and an even I think you have to be a big Doc Savage fan and an even bigger Pat Savage fan to want to buy this book, because midway through the book, you know how it's going to end if you're smart. I mean, we've already told you, it's called major
comics.
Spoilers.
Comics these days are, in fact, marketed for the people who already love comics. And the people who already love the property. If you already love Batman, you'll love this week's episode of Batman. So to some degree, I think that's more of an industry-wide thing than just Pat Savage. But I would agree with you. You got to love yourself some Doc Savage to buy this book.
Yes.
But I think that you wouldn't go looking for this book if you didn't love yourself some Doc Savage.
Yes. Yes.
So catch 22.
I think it is. And I think... And this is the problem that I have. I think that I'm sure this is actual printing costs with the same markup and all that kind of stuff. It just feels like twisting the knife, right? I love Wolverine, but gosh darn it, you're charging so much for this Death of Wolverine series. Or I love Captain America. Yeah, and you're charging me $5 per issue, whatever it is. And there's 10 of those issues that are coming out over the next two months. It just feels like you're sticking that knife in me because you know I'm a fan. But I think that goes with anything. I'm a fan of I'm a fan of X football team.
Right.
And I will pay $200 to sit in the upper tier of the football stadium to watch that game. I'm not sure if that's what ticket prices are going for, but I bet it's not $60. So I don't know. Being a fan of something means you're going to have to pay a price.
Yeah. And, you know, only you can decide whether that price is too high for you. We're here to tell you what you already knew.
Yep.
Maybe point out a couple things you missed the first time. Welcome to Dueling Reviews.
Yep.
So, yeah, good story. Good character. An interesting chunk of the Doc Savage universe. Annual price. You know, when we were kids and comics were 60
annual
cents.
Annual was like 80 cents or $1.25 or something like that.
Yeah, books were 60 cents and annual was $1.25. It was really the same sort of sliding scale. I mean, I remember being able to only buy five books at a time because five books was $5.
Yeah.
With tax, give or take. Then you could buy a Chompo bar and four balls of bubble gum.
Well, I've told my story before where I could take $20 that I got from mowing grass. Yep. I could fill up my Ford 1976 F-150 truck, drive to Topeka, go to two or three different comic book shops, buy, I don't know, 10 books, 10, 15 comic books.
Uphill both ways through four.
Go to McDonald's and get a hamburger and fries and a soda, fill up my truck again and drive home on that $20. And maybe I have enough to go see a movie.
$1.89 for gas the other day.
I know, man. It's the lowest it's been since 2009, I think, a six or something like that.
That's pretty cool.
I remember when it was even lower, and I'm sure you do too. I mean, when I was in Atlanta, this was in the 90s, I remember paying 86 cents a gallon and thinking that was quite the bargain.
86 cents a gallon?
86 cents a gallon.
You're an 86 cents.
Yeah. Well, I also remember paying a lot less than that when I was living at home, so...
When I was 12 years old, gas was $1.19.
So this week, there were a lot of comics released by the comic book publishers. I was really surprised. I thought no one would go out to their comic book shop on the 24th of December to buy comic books. And yet the publishers released a whole bunch of comics this week. Some really good ones out there. You should go check it out. I figured the 31st, which I think is a fifth week, isn't it? Look and see.
Yes.
Let me see if next week would have been a fifth week. One, two, three, four. Yes, next week would be a fifth week. And I figured that's when they're going to dump everything on there. But it turns out next week is a very, very, very super slim week for comics. Here is the list of everything coming out next week. From Dark Horse Comics, Massive Trade Paperback Volume 4, X Trade Paperback Volume 4, DC Comics as Batman Eternal Number 39, Earth 2 Worlds End Number 13, New 52 Futures End Number 35. IDW Publishing, you better jump on this now.
Right now?
Star Trek Planet of the Apes number 1.
Ooh, do we want to retro review that next?
No, not we don't have to retro review it. This is the first issue of
not retro review, dueling review.
Yeah, that's
up.
What I'm saying. We got to jump
some
on this.
Some sort of review.
We got to jump on this now before Chris Wilson gets his green mitts on it.
Star Trek
Planet of the Apes number 1.
Apes number. You do understand that no one has been on the site in life. Okay.
I know. That's what I said. Everybody's
all of the
been
writers
on
vacation. Are like, we're having Christmas. Bye.
I guess, but we've got it now. Image Comics. Has East of West number 16, and they have a whole bunch of variant covers on that. It's like six, seven, eight different covers. And then they have Image First's Witches number 1, which is a very popular series. That's only $1. So if you want to get in on that. Marvel Comics has all new Miracleman annual number 1.
Miracleman?
Miracleman.
The Miracleman's. They live down the street near the Spider-Man's.
Yep. And then they also have S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1. Now, this is the other one that's based on the ABC TV series. So we get to see Agent Coulson pop up in the universe. And I believe, if I remember correctly, S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1, double check this, Matthew, real quick. I believe this is a Mark Waid written issue.
S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1 from Marvel Comics. Let's check. Why am I singing the gong?
Because you're not going.
Yes, I love that song. Hey, remember that S.H.I.E.L.D. Here we go. S.H.I.E.L.D. in the sand and find out the S.H.I.E.L.D. book in the comics. This Carlos Pacheco and this Chris Sprouse.
No, so it's not Mark Waid. Oh, yeah, it's written by Mark Waid, art by Carlos Pacheco. Pacheco.
Carlos Pacheco, not Pachinko.
Pacheco. I've got one of those machines.
That's a game that you can play.
It's actually I've got a Batman Pacheco machine that my wife bought me for my birthday, like a decade or so ago. It's an awesome gift. Lights up. Oh yeah, because this whole thing, I mean, it's an import from Japan, so I don't understand a single thing they're saying, but it's just like I'll shoot a video of it. I'll put it up on our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video. That's our YouTube channel. Please subscribe if you haven't. It is a crazy machine. It lights up, blinks up, shouts at you in Japanese. It's really cool. But yes, S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1. Yep. One of us will review that next week, but not for dueling reviews.
But that is a Mark Waid.
Really?
I
will believe
S.H.I.E.L.D.
that.
S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1 has been called by Danielle.
Okay. All right. Abigail and the Snowman number 1. That's a brand new series from Boom Studios. That is also out next week. Exo Manowar number 31. And that's it. That is your complete list of comics coming out on the very last day of 2014. I think there's some good comics coming out next week. I mean, everyone and their brother has been talking about Star Trek Planet of the Apes number 1.
Yep.
It's going to be trippy.
something, something.
I can't wait. I can't wait to read that book, story. Matthew. It's not a time travel story.
It has to be the Planet of the Apes is in the future.
Or in the past.
Star Trek is also in the future.
But that's the thing. Does Star Trek travel to the past or do they travel to the future?
The future of the past, which is actually 20 minutes from now.
Or are they actually on one of those Nazi planets where history
where everything
evolved
is based on like Nazi Germany or Busby Berkeley music.
Or a Roman. Yeah, wouldn't that be funny if they would have Busby Berkeley instead of a capsule containing the history of the gangs of the 1930s. It was a reel of Busby Berkeley movies.
Yep. Spock is wandering around. Throw out your hands. Stick out your tush.
No, he would be singing Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins.
Don't be surprised. You're doing the Romulan mystique. Voila!
Nerf pinch. oh, boy.
That's funny.
It is. And listeners, what a way to end your Christmas day than with this Dueling Reviews. And a big happy holiday welcome to all of you out there, regardless of your denomination or which holiday that you're celebrating. I hope you're spending it with family and friends and that you have a good one. And next week, we will wrap up 2014 with our take of Star Trek Planet of the Apes number one. Take care, everybody, and we will talk with you soon.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.